Federal agencies are wise to contractors that lowball their contract prices just to get the deal. Some of those companies try to get around the low price by doing the work at normal prices anyway and then getting the agency to reimburse them. Bill Welch is a partner at McMahon, Welch & Learned and doing a postmortem on a recent Navy contract that shows the agencies catching on to this tactic. Bill, the facts of this case are pretty straightforward, and they do make the case for fixed-price contracting. You write, the Navy issued a request for proposals for a computer data center in New Orleans. What happened after that, Bill? Thanks for coming on today.
Sure, Francis. Thank you. Well, in this case, I mean, there were multiple rounds of protests, and for each prior award, the awardee's price was released, which is typical. And this is a proposed price for cost reimbursement contract. And in this case, the awardees, I mean, I'm sorry, the protesters at each stage of the protest attempted to reduce their price to compete with the awardee. And the Navy issued an amendment to its proposal, which was frankly kind of unique, saying if you're going to reduce your price, you have to tell us how you're going to do it and why you're going to do it, and you have to justify it. And the Navy, for two of the competitors, said, "No, this is not justified. We don't, you know, we don't understand this. So we're going to adjust your proposed cost up." And as a consequence, that was one of the reasons that the two protesters lost. It's really difficult in a cost-plus contract because you're always required to evaluate some sort of price. If it's not going to be a time and materials contract, then you're going to be paid, you know, what your actual costs are. And so regardless of what you may propose on a cost-plus contract, you're going to get your actual costs.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the Navy said, no, your actual costs are not reasonable. So not realistic. So we're going to adjust them up.
There are a number of things about this case that I found particularly interesting as I read your piece about it in the Washington Business Journal. We have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth this afternoon. The part that you talked about is one of them, and we'll get to that because I have a couple other things on that I'm curious about. But you write in this that this company that won, that got the award, got it four times. And I know that when you see something that you think is not right for your company, it's within your right to protest. But when the same company wins a couple of times in a row, at some point, I wonder if you just shouldn't see the writing on the wall and go, well, this one's just not meant to be.
Yes. I couldn't agree with you more. But in this case, I mean, it does happen. I've certainly been involved in some protests that have gone two or three rounds, and then it ends up that, the original awardee and the protester, neither one of them get the contract. So, it really depends on the particular circumstances. But in this case, this was mainly, this was a complicated case, and I just focused on one issue here. Mainly the issue here was the evaluation of costs, proposed costs, and so, you know, what I tried to focus on here is the issue of cost plus contracts. They certainly have a place in government contracting for development contracts, or, you know, contracts where the government doesn't really know how to, or neither the government nor the contractors exactly know how to propose a price, so they can't do a fixed price. The government's sometimes afraid of a time and materials contract, so they say, we'll pay your actual development costs, your actual incurred costs, and that can be just terribly complicated sometimes. But the government has to really focus on how they spend their costs. I mean, how they incur their costs and how they account their costs, And that also makes it difficult sometimes for a contractor.
Bill Welch is a partner at McMahon Welch and Learned and writing about this case with the Navy in the Washington Business Journal. All right, help me understand some thinking around this idea of what the Navy did here that you wrote was very unusual. You write, in an effort to prevent unrealistic pricing in this case, the agency requested each offeror to explain their price reductions from their prior proposals. And you explained that a couple of moments ago. As when I read what you wrote, this requirement's very unusual, I thought, well, maybe it should be more common and companies would be less likely to do this two or three or four times. Then I thought the converse of that is that means that the agency, in this case the Navy, gets into the whole should-cost business maybe a lot more often than they need to be or want to be. What are some of the pros and cons to some kinds of passages like this in contracts or maybe what's permitted or not permitted according to the FAR and the DFARS?
Well, what was unusual in this case was that you had multiple rounds of protests and one of the particular issues was the cost evaluation. With a cost-plus contract, because you don't know exactly what you're going to be doing, once the contract is issued, you don't know what it's going to cost, you don't know, exactly who you're going to have to hire or how much they're going to cost. So oftentimes costs are evaluated in terms of hypothetical task orders or sample task orders. And then you price the sample task order. So, sometimes they can an offeror can lowball a task order or lowball a sample task order, knowing that once they start the contract, they're going to get paid their actual costs, whatever it is that the government orders or whatever it is that they need or they want in the development of this contract. What's so unique about – what's so unusual, I thought, about this contract was this is an information technology contract with a help desk. This is not rocket science. So I didn't understand why they were doing cost plus contract on this type of contract. So I thought it was unusual, and I think the Navy was a little bit concerned that that they were losing control of the pricing here. And that they would continue to go through multiple rounds of protests, and at the end of the day, whoever they got, they were going to be stuck with the actual cost. So, I think the GAO and the Navy did the right thing here in terms of the outcome, but I would have liked to have seen in this case. I mean, it seems like they could have done at a minimum. Time and materials contract or even a fixed price contract.
Well, that's where I wanted to go next as we wrap up, Bill, would it be unprecedented for an agency to get to the second or third protest and say, well, if this keeps happening, maybe we're doing it wrong, or we at least should give something else a try because we seem to be getting the same result over and over again.
Yes. I can't agree with that more. If you continue to have multiple rounds of protests, that means that the agency has given up. Sometimes you get a GAO decision that's contrary, but for the most part, I think in this case, the agency just decided to take corrective action three different times, and they might make small modifications in the contract, but they need to. A lot of times, they just need to rethink the whole thing and rethink the pricing structure.
Hindsight's 2020, and it's beautiful, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, it is. It is.